Thank you.
I'd like to call your attention to Mark chapter 7 this morning. Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24 and reading through 37. Mark 7, 24. If you want to follow along, I invite you to hear these words and in them listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went into the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know that he had entered a house, but he couldn't hide. In fact, a woman whose young daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard about him right away, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, not Jewish. She was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She begged Jesus to throw the demon out of her daughter. And he responded, "The children have to be fed first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." But she answered, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." "Good answer," he said. "Go on home. The demon has already left your daughter." And when she returned to the house, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Now, that's the first part of this story. Let me pause for a minute and tell you that that's the way they thought in Old Testament times. They talked about demons. When someone's sick, they have a demon. And they didn't understand medical science. Well, maybe we don't either, but we understand a lot more about it than they did. And we are a little more sophisticated, or we like to think that we are. But the deal is, this woman's daughter was sick. And in those days, when someone was sick, they had a demon. And Jesus, even from this distance, was able to set aside that demon and heal this young girl. Let me go on with the reading now, with verse 31. After leaving from the region of Tyre, Jesus went through Sidon toward Galilee, through the region of the 10 cities. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on the man for healing. Jesus took him away from the crowd by himself and put his fingers in the man's ears. And then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Wow. Looking into heaven, Jesus sighed deeply and said, "Ephphatha," which means "open up." And at once his ears opened, his twisted tongue was released, and he began to speak clearly. Jesus gave the people strict orders not to tell anyone. But the more he tried to silence them, the more eagerly they shared the news. People were overcome with wonder, saying, "He does everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who can't speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a few moments, we will have communion together, and I guarantee you there is no greater grace. There's no greater offer of grace that reaches people for Jesus Christ. It is the touch of the Master. And today, you personally, and you are invited to this place where Christ is the host, and where each of us is an equal guest. Last Sunday, I shared this image with you. A father and son were talking, but they were just not communicating very well. And the father said, "Son, give me time." You're going to have to talk more slowly. And the young son said to his dad, Dad, give me more time. I can talk slowly, but you're going to have to listen slowly. Sometimes our attention span just does not match up with what we're trying to pay attention to. And when we listen to children, we need to listen slowly. So many times we're ready to speak. And when we speak, you know what happens? Our voices engage and our ears stop listening. But today, because we get to come to the altar table, our sermon will be a little briefer. Preachers say a lot of words, and I really like to say fewer words. I would rather say fewer words and choose better ones. Choose stronger ones. Ones that make a difference. There's a difference between character and reputation. Reputation is what people say about you. And character is what you really are from the inside out. As we profess our faith in Jesus Christ and then grow into that faith, those two, character and reputation, should come closer together. They should match more and more. See, reputation is what others say we are, and character is what we really are, or what we desire at our core to be. It's my hope that as we grow in faith, who we become on the outside begins to match more and more with who we really are on the inside. That can be scary because it allows room for you to keep secrets or even to disagree with yourself. Did you know you could disagree with yourself? Of course. The most confident and influential disciples, though, are those whose spirits match up with their actions. Those who are connected with themselves and with Christ and who don't mind coming to Jesus for help. Or in this case of today's text, it's bringing someone else along for Jesus' healing. You know the stories that we've just read. Some of the highlights, this woman came to Jesus not claiming her place or her worthiness, but she came humbly. It says that she fell at Jesus' feet. Jesus declines at first as if to test her. And she continues to claim, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that the children drop. And Jesus is persuaded with her humility and her persistence, not claiming her worth, but claiming His mercy. She is not coming on her own merits, but coming because she knows that Jesus can and will bring healing. It's huge. For all the efforts we try to go through to earn grace, the gift of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ is not about earning anything. It is about grace. And if it were about earning something, it wouldn't be a graceful thing. We couldn't earn it, in fact. But if we could, even then it would be a purchase and not a gift. This poor woman came to Jesus humbly, based on her need, and Jesus granted her request from the distance. She had left this daughter at home. And she, the mother, came pleading to Jesus. And when Jesus spoke the words, the daughter, far away, was healed. Jesus proved His power, even over demons, and the woman's life was changed. The girl's life was changed too. But in the second story in this text, we have a great contrast. In this story, a man is helped to talk by Jesus who is restoring
his hearing.
You know, you have to hear to learn to speak. A child who can't hear won't learn to speak properly because they don't know how to form the words. They're very closely related, and apparently this child could not hear or speak. You have to hear to learn somehow to have anything to say, really. Hearing and speaking are closely related. Last week we shared about the importance of words, and here is an example. In the first story that we already talked about, Jesus healed the woman's daughter from a distance. But in this story, the second story, Jesus is close, really close. Did you hear the words that were read? Jesus, the healer, in the exam room, took this man away from the crowd. And listen to this closeness, to this intimacy. Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. What a difference from healing a person at a distance to now so intimate. And then, if that wasn't enough, he moistened his hands with his own spit. I really wanted to believe that that said spirit, but it's not. It says spit. And with that, he touched the man's tongue. While not hard to imagine, it is kind of hard to talk about it. And if Jesus was a miracle worker, then why so physical? Why so intimate? In the first story, Jesus healed the woman's daughter who wasn't even there. She was at home, miles away, presumably. The mother came. And when Jesus healed the daughter, he said to the woman, "Go home, the demon has already left your daughter." Already. From a distance. And here, now, with the man, Jesus is up close and personal. The man's ears are opened. It says, and at once, his ears were opened and he began to speak. Once he could hear, he began to speak. Now you think about it and you know how important hearing is to be able to speak. When a child is learning to speak, if they can't hear well, they're not going to speak clearly. They're not going to speak well. We could take a lesson from these two things to get things in the right order. First we listen and then we speak. First we hear from those around us, from Christ. And then we have something to say. The man's ears were opened, it says. At once his ears were opened and he began to speak. And once he could hear, his speech probably burst forth and didn't stop for a long time. We could take a lesson, though, to get those two things in the right order. The phrase, "listen before you speak," comes to mind. Let us get our hearing right. Let us get attuned to the right things, to the right sources, to the right places. And then we will have something valuable to say. These two healing stories are nested together here in this passage, and they're very alike. And yet they're very different. But the link between them is that their concerns and their needs were brought to Jesus. One by himself and one by another. The woman came to beg Jesus to remove the torment from her daughter and heal her and to bring her to peace with her own spirit and her own life, with her own family. And the second, the man who could not speak, because he could not hear. It's easy to see that one who cannot hear cannot learn, cannot maybe have something to say. Whoa, did you hear that? We have to hear, at least spiritually, we have to hear before we can speak. Preachers of the Word, listen to that. Make it so. Do you speak peace in your family, in your congregation, in your class? Do you speak peace? Do you say words that lift up your family, your kids? Or are they words that put them off and tear them down? You may not call them demons, but what spirits prevail in your life that influence you and those you love the most? I encourage you to bring your concerns to Jesus, to this altar. Let Jesus carry them to the cross. And then let Jesus help raise you up again to a new direction of confidence and hope. If that doesn't resonate with you, then I invite you to remember that in both of these stories in our reading today, the woman's daughter who had a demon and the man who could not hear or speak, I invite you to remember that in both these stories, other people brought the ones in need to Jesus or gained His attention to provide His divine healing for them. And then I ask you, who could you bring before the Lord? Who could you bring in this moment or in the moments of this week? Who could you bring to Jesus for healing and for hope? If you're strong, then no doubt you know someone who is in need. And if you are weak, if you are in need of healing and hope, if you are in need of being refilled or refueled, then you are the one who can come to Jesus for this holy touch. We all have to start with ourselves. And the altar right here is a great place to begin. As you kneel here or as you stand, kneeling in your heart, so may you rise in the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of healing and hope and wholeness.